This episode and the entire season of episodes is proudly brought to you by California Cryobank. Use code QueerFam26 for a free level 3 subscription to their donor catalog. Make those babies, y'all, and then come tell me about them.
The Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
No. Don't get it twisted. We are the most intentional families out there. We yes. work hard. There are no accidents. There are very few accidents. We work hard to create these families. And we work hard to show up in a world that doesn't necessarily accept us. And to make sure that our children are raised with so much love and so much strength against the outside world. Not against, that's not the right way to put it, but like so much resilience.
Yes.
And so much confidence in who they are and how they were made and how loved they are. We are so intentional.
Yes.
So intentional. From the moment we start the family building process to the moment we die, the whole journey is extremely intentional. Welcome, 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 y'all, to the Queer Family Podcast, the show all about family, but with gay. I'm your gay host, Jamie, and this is the show that highlights, celebrates, uplifts, and normalizes LGBTQIA+ families in all of our fabulous identities. And it is also, as you may know, if you've been tuning in this month, it is our Pride extravaganza, which means what? Which means what, you ask? It means instead of just one weekly episode every Monday throughout the month of Pride, June, you are getting two beautiful episodes of queer family goodness and all things that pertain to our families. You get one on Monday, you get one on Thursday. And this one is great. This is a fun one. I had the pleasure of sitting down with Lisa Schumann. Lisa is the founder of the Center for Family Building. She is co-author of Building Your Family, The Complete Guide to Donor Conception. And she is host of the podcast, Building Your Family with Lisa Schumann. She is also an adoptive mother and a therapist, which is a bonus. I got a little therapy session in this interview. I'm not going to lie. She's also a very old friend of this show. She's been on the show a couple times. And I think her first time she was in season 2, like that far back. She is an expert on all things donor conception, and I lovingly call her Lisa the Therapist, because anytime I have any worries or doubts or fears, she assuages them for me. She's a very kind and loving soul, and it's a really great episode. And I decided to do something a little different with this one. We actually were doing like a joint Pride episode together. So this episode will also air on her show around the same time that mine is airing on my show. They'll be slightly different. They'll have different intros and they'll have some different edits to them. While we're still doing that, I decided to split it in half to make this a double episode. So you're getting the first half of our conversation where Lisa actually interviews me and we dig deep into kind of the origin story of the podcast and why it came to be. And we dig into all the things that go with donor conception and queer family building. And then we dig into a little bit of like what it's like to live as an L, a G, a B, a T, a Q, an I, an A, a plus in the world, in the country right now, in the world too, let's be real. It's a really wonderful episode and there's some really wonderful moments. And because I'm giving you double the episodes every week, I thought it would be nice if I didn't give you super long episodes. So this is a nice short one that you can enjoy on your morning commute or whatever commute you're on, or washing the dishes or whatever the case may be. And then you'll have a nice little short one coming up next on Monday. So some great things in store for you. You're going to love Lisa. I love Lisa. I really do feel like I got a therapy session out of it. She made me feel a little bit better about some of my fears regarding momming, and it's fun. So I'm excited for you to hear it. Happy Pride, y'all. I hope your months are going mwah, smashingly. I hope you're having Pride celebrations mwah, smashingly. I hope your children, if you have them, are saying happy Pride to you all the time. I will say this, my son, we were walking down the street the other day. He was between my wife and I, and he's 8, and he looked up at both of us and he goes, "I'm just so glad I have two moms." And it was such a sweet moment. And it just came out. Oh, really? Thanks, babe. He's like, "I just like it a lot." So take that, y'all. Take that and ride home with it, because we're doing good with our families, and we're intentional, which this episode proves. So enjoy the episode. I'll see you in a couple more days, and let's go. Let's raise up the pride. Yes. All right. Helen, Beulah, can you please come over here and roll this tape? Thanks so much. I find that if I talk to them in a much lighter tone, they move a little quicker. I'm just kidding. I don't have assistants. Guys, there's nobody in here. I'm talking to the air. But please roll the tape. Here we go. Let's roll it.
Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
Welcome to the Building Your Family Podcast. I'm so delighted to have you here for this Pride episode with my colleague and friend, Jamie Kelton, who is the host of the Queer Family Podcast and has been advocating for queer families for decades. I am so excited to have her here to talk about things that are most important for you listeners. And we've gotten so many questions over the years, we decided to put them together in a format that will help you understand how to build your family in the most warm and welcoming way possible. So welcome, Jamie. I'm so happy to have you here.
Hi, Lisa. Nice to be here. Nice to be back with you. We've been in this room together before.
We have. And it's always beautiful to have you here. You're such a beam of light and love. And I'm so glad that you're here for your listeners and here for our listeners. I know this is going to be a great episode and help a lot of people with their family building journey.
I hope so.
Yeah.
That's the hope.
And of course, all of you out there, if you have questions, you are welcome to put them in the chat or the comments. We want to hear from you. But I'm going to start by asking Jamie some questions, and then she's going to ask me some questions.
And can I just say, I love this so much. And Lisa, I call you Lisa the therapist. Everybody needs to know that. Right. I call you Lisa the therapist. And also, you are so much more buttoned up as a podcaster than I am. So this is fun. This is a treat. You have the script ready to go. I never have a script ready to go. So this is going to be fun. Let's do it.
Well, you know, I think it's because I'm a little impatient, and I like when I watch podcasts to be efficient. I like people to get the answers to their problems and move on. Like, I want to fold my laundry, listen to the podcast, get my answers and move on and do whatever I have to do, take the dogs out. So I feel like there are all these questions that keep coming up. And I thought if I ask you these questions and get the answers, then I can feed them to the listeners and they'll be satisfied. So let's hope so.
But I find it hard to believe that you're impatient. But okay, let's do it. Here we go.
Okay. Number one is, you've been advocating for queer families long before it was mainstream. And I'm wondering, what was it like for you early on to think about family building, to think about talking to people about their family building? And what do you feel like people in the queer community really had to think about and fight for in ways that they don't have to fight for today?
Okay, well, let's see. Let me break this question down. So I like that you say I've been advocating for queer families. I wouldn't have said that myself, but it has turned into kind of what you describe it as. Yes. The reason the podcast came to be at all was because I had a hard time getting pregnant. I suffered through unexplained infertility. I was also married to my wife, who had given birth to our daughter before we started with me. So I was having the experience of being in a lesbian relationship where I already had a child who was my non-bio child that my wife gave birth to, and now suffering through infertility and trying to get pregnant and feeling lonely, as you do when you're suffering with infertility and trying to get pregnant, and really, really yearning to be able to hear my story mirrored back to me, because that's cathartic for us. We search for similarities to get a little bit of healing. And I had a really hard time hearing a story like mine out there. Our daughter was born in 2013, so we started in like 2012. And there were very few resources out there. Back then, like, basically you did what, if you had friends who had done it before you, you just kind of followed their path, because there are so many decisions to make. There are so many paths to make when it comes to queer family building. Like, whose uterus are you using? Are you using donor sperm? What kind of donor sperm? Anonymous? Are you using a known donor? Like, do genetics matter? There's so many things. And we were just like in the dark. We had no idea that any of these like choices were going to even come to the table for us. We just knew we wanted to be moms, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there's that. We had no guidelines. There were very few resources out there for queer family building. And now you add on my infertility and the struggle I was going through. And I wasn't able to find stories like mine out there. And I had just discovered podcasts. Podcasts were a relatively new thing. Mm-hmm. And there were already podcasts about everything. Like, as soon as podcasts started, everybody had a podcast. Like, it was quick. Yes. And I thought, well, surely there's a podcast about lesbian families. Surely there is. And I couldn't find one. And I searched for I searched through all the infertility podcasts. They were always told from a heteronormative lens. They were always straight couples dealing with infertility, talking about issues that did not pertain to me or that I didn't care about. And they would have like one token lesbian family in like 20 episodes, you know, and I would glom onto that. But the questions and the lens of it was still through a heteronormative lens. The mm-hmm. questions that were asked, you know, wasn't asking the nuanced questions that I needed answered. So my point is there was so little out there for all aspects of queer family building. And that's why I started the show I did. Now, since I started my show 9 years ago, so many more resources have come up for us. We now do have podcasts that center gay dads, trans families, lesbian families. My show covers all forms of families and how we build them and how we show up in the world now. And so the landscape has really changed for us. There are books. I've interviewed countless people who've written books about LGBTQIA family building, as I like to call us. and the landscape has changed a lot. It's not anywhere near where it needs to be, in my opinion, but at least we have some resources out there and some like help guidelines, if you will. We don't have to do what I call gay drafting, where we do what our friends did before us anymore. We can actually look to other resources out there and say, oh, well, they did it this way. They did it this way. I think that would be the path I would choose, you know? And I think that's why podcasts like mine are actually really so important for LGBTQIA folks, because it gives us roadmaps. It gives us like a choose your own adventure style mm-hmm. book of like, you hear other people's stories and then you're able to piece together what your ideal way to do it would be and figure out and answer the questions that need to be asked along the way. That makes sense. Did I answer your question at all, Lisa?
Yes, you absolutely did. And it's so beautifully said. And I really appreciate that you're also sharing your infertility struggle, because we'll go back to that later. But I think it's so important to realize that when you're building your family, if you're building as a single or building as a couple, if you're a queer couple or individual, and, you know, again, we'll talk about this later, it is so natural just to say, okay, I'm missing this element. I'm missing the sperm, I'm missing the egg, I'm missing the uterus, and not to really think about family building is hard. And, you know, infertility doesn't discriminate. It's not going mm-hmm. to just choose the queer families or just choose the straight couples or just choose the individual people. It's going to be for everybody. And so I really appreciate you being so open about that, Jane.
Anytime. Yeah. Anytime, Lisa the therapist. Anytime.
So, Jamie, that also brings me to my next question, which is about having a genetic connection to your child. And to varying degrees, people often wonder about this. What's going to happen if I'm not genetically related to my child? Am I going to feel like the other parent? Are people going to look at me and look at the child and look at me again and think, oh, well, you're not related? Are people going to think, well, my partner is musical and therefore the kid's going to be musical and I'm going to feel left out? There are all these fears that people have, and yet you've said very openly that you feel very connected to your child, who you're not genetically connected to. So can you tell everybody a little bit about that?
I think that this is a very, very important conversation, and I try to bring it up on almost every episode, the non-bio connection versus the bio connection, because in our families, inevitably, more often than not, you know, you do have your lucky trans families that get to do it the old-fashioned way. But most of the time, one of us is not going to have, or both of us are not going to have a biological connection. And that those feelings, those fears are very real for many of us. And I think it feels taboo to mm-hmm. say it out loud. And yes. I think we need to normalize talking about those feelings so that they don't bubble and simmer inside us and make us feel like terrible people. The more we talk about these things, the more we normalize these things, the easier everything will become, in my opinion. My wife gave birth to our first, and I also did give birth to our second. So I'm a bio mom and a non-bio mom. So I feel like I have a gift that has shown me the two separate ways it can be. And that has taught me that none of it matters at all. But the feelings that come up before and during and all the times, and I still have feelings that come up for me, even having the bio and the non-bio, I still have feelings that I have to work through regarding the biological connection. Not to say that my daughter and I do not have the strongest mother-daughter bond. Like, we love each other. That is my daughter. I am her mom. But things still do come up. That's why it's so important to talk about this stuff. Like, just last night, she had a piano recital, and she didn't do very well, Lisa. And I'm a musical person. I'm a singer. I'm a musician. It's very important to me. And I had a moment last night where I was like, oh, maybe it's just not a part of her. And it crushed me. I said to my wife, I think I need to go to therapy over this. Like, I don't know why this is crushing me so terribly. It's a non-bio thing. She doesn't have my genetics. Maybe she doesn't have the love that I do of it. And so it pops up. It does. And to not talk about it and to act like it doesn't, I think does everybody a disservice. So to take it back to when it was all first happening, my wife threw a wrench in our plans from the get-go. I was always supposed to be the one to carry. That was kind of how when we were dating, that's always when we talked about it, that's how it was going to be. And then, like, right after our marriage, one day she said, you know what? I think I want to carry too. And that threw a wrench in everything, because I was not planning on not being biologically connected to my child or children. And so the feeling started right away for me, because first of all, then we had to start right away. She was a little older, so we had to quicken up the pace, which is a good thing we did, because I went through all that infertility. But I went through a lot of scary feelings when she was pregnant, like the ones you described in your question, over like, am I going to connect? What if I don't connect? What if she doesn't connect with me? What if she likes Anne better than me just because of biology? All the way up to last night with her not doing so well at her piano recital. Like, I mean, but to be honest, it's because she didn't really practice. However, my non-bio mom brain was like, oh my God, it's because she doesn't share what I have when it comes to music. Like, you know, brains are crazy and we go to some crazy places. And it does not take away from the fact, however, that our bonds and our families are beautiful and so much stronger for having these connections that are not traditional, that are out of the box, so to speak, because it makes us think through everything so much more. In my opinion, it makes like our bonds and our family so much more intimate on different, deeper layers, different levels that other families don't even think about, or things that don't cross their mind at all. Like, what is a family? What is mother-daughter? What is family bond? You know what I mean? Like, all these things that I feel like we've gone to deeper layers because of the fact that we do not have a biological connection. So what does that mean? We'll be right back. Phew. All this talk about donor conception has got me thinking about my promo code with California Cryobank. Have you been thinking about it too? What you want to do is go to cryobank.com, use code QUEERFAM26, and you're going to get a free level 3 subscription to their donor catalog. So if donor conception is a path that you're thinking of towards your path to parenthood, this is a really great way to see what's out there. It's beautiful. You don't have to make any decisions yet. Just go look around. Go see what there is. California Cryobank has been around for nearly 50 years. They are well-respected and well-known in the industry, and they have been helping the LGBTQIA community create the families of their dreams for quite some time. And they also do great things for families like ours, like second parent adoption letters, which I highly recommend you do, and vial transfers between partners if you decide to switch whose uterus you're going to use midway through. really great. They're thinking about us. They offer a really wonderful keepsake that you can use when you're speaking to your children about their origin story. All awesome stuff. I made my babies with California Cryobank, and I don't regret it one bit. So if this is something that sounds interesting to you, you're going to head to cryobank.com. You're going to use code QueerFam26, and you're going to get a free level 3 subscription to their donor catalog. Make those babies, and then come tell me about them, y'all. Happy Pride.
Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
Hi, Deani. Oh my God, you are never going to believe what my wife said to me the other day. I cannot
wait. Jamie, save it for the Patreon.
What? Oh, right. Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah. Okay. Listen, everyone at home, if you want to hear what my wife said, plus a lot of other things that I have been dying to get off my chest, and there are some things, y'all, there really are, you need to come join us on our Patreon.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's me and my good friend Deani here, the amazing millennial who is young and sprightly, spilling all the tea in our queer little lives and exclusive contents that you literally cannot find anywhere else, literally nowhere else in the world.
The link is in the bio. Come be part of the queer family.
Love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love. Love is love.
And I just wanted to ask, say two things about it. One is that I think a lot of straight couples I see have similar feelings, even when they have genetically linked children. They think like, I'm an athlete. How come my kid's not an athlete?
Yeah.
Right? And if you're musical, it doesn't mean, and you have three kids, doesn't mean they're all going to be musical, right? Mm-mm. So even if you had a genetically connected child, doesn't mean she'd be musical, but having those moments are sore spots, right?
Yes.
And they can flare up in those moments. Somebody says, you know, oh, your kid's so musical and you're not, or your kid's not, or your kid's athletic and you're not, or your child looks so much like you and you're, you know, pushing a carriage through the supermarket and you think, well, wait a minute, I don't have a genetic connection. Like there are all these sore spots that could bubble up, right? And so I think in the queer community, you have this beautiful opportunity, as you said, to dig a little deeper and ask yourself, like, what does that mean? How does that mean that I am connected to this child if it's not the way that I imagined when I was growing up, right? I was growing up, I don't know donor conceived people. I don't have a framework for that. And so how do I see family? How do I see family connections? I was talking to somebody this morning about a family that I saw who lived in South America, and in their community, a lot of people in their community share kids. So there might be a cousin growing up with a sibling and then the parents move away for a little while, or maybe there's like four siblings and then one of them goes to live with the grandmother and everybody just kind of exchanges kids in a way that they don't really care about. And so when they came to our practice in the US and they were saying, well, you know, even though my daughter is less than 21, she can still be a donor, because for them, meant very different things, right?
Yeah.
For us in the US, this genetic connection is so much a part of how we were raised in our culture, and we don't grow up with donor conceived children. So I think it is natural for us to kind of reflexively say, well, wait a minute, what does that mean? But the other part, Jamie, I want to say is you're saying that I love my daughter so much, she loves me, where we have this great mother-daughter relationship. It's not about your relationship. It's just about your feelings.
Yeah.
Right? They belong to you. It doesn't detract from how you feel about her or how she feels about you because you have these questions.
Right. 100%. Yeah. You just summed it up very nicely. Probably way better than I said it. But I do hammer down the point. I do think it's really important that this topic be brought up more often, because I think it teaches us a lot about family and what matters.
Yes. And I think if people can think about it that way, this is my issue to grapple with. It has nothing to do with my child or my relationship with my child. This is my issue that I'm going to grapple with throughout my life. Then all of a sudden, it doesn't carry that meaning that I have to be ashamed because now I'm making a statement about my relationship with my child, or now I'm making a statement about how my child's not connected to me. It's not about your child and you. It's about you. right?
Right.
And we all have that. I, you know, as you know, I have non-genetically related children also. So I completely appreciate that. And I'm so glad that you're bringing that up. And I agree, we really need to be talking about that more openly and honestly and without shame.
Yeah. And to your point, it can help the people who do have biological connections to their kids, but whose kids do not take on the traits that they were hoping they would, which happens quite a lot.
Quite a
like,
lot.
It seems like my son isn't going to have a musical tendency either. So I'm out of luck.
Yeah. I mean, I see all these people, you know, giving their colleges money, thinking their kid's going to go to their college, and then they turn out not to be interested or not to have the aptitude or whatever. This is part of parenthood, right?
Right. Right. And that's why I was saying to my wife, I think I need to go to the therapy to talk this out, because I know it's an issue with me. I know it's like I had dreams for my children to be the performers that they're not, you know, and I have to get over. I got to get over my can I swear on your show? My
yes,
stuff.
Yes, go right ahead.
I got to get over my shit. Yeah. 100%. I told my wife, I was like, I'm really upset right now. I think I need to go to a therapist to talk about this. Yeah, I'm not going to go to a therapist because I think I just talked it out. But you know what I'm saying.
Right. Here we are. Here we are. Yes, absolutely. I'm so glad that we're talking about this. It's so important. And I hope all of you out there, if you're on your family building journey and just starting, can really take this to heart, that just because you have ambivalence or conflict or fears, it doesn't mean that's going to translate to how much you love your child or how much your child will love you. It's your own issue and very separate from your relationship. So I really appreciate you sharing that, Jamie.
Also, I do want to add, because this goes with the bio connection. And I thought at first it was a thing because I wasn't biologically related. But when my wife gave birth, it took me a while to bond with our daughter. Mm-hmm. It didn't happen right away. It was a little bit of a slow burn. I'm not saying it was like a year, but like it took some time for me to kind of like grow into this idea of, okay, I'm a mom now. It was also first child. This is my, like to just feel that bond, right? Mm-hmm. And I thought for 4 years while I was trying to get pregnant that was because of the non-bio connection, because we are fed this myth as women, or as people with uteruses, I should say, that the childbirth and holding that baby is what changes you. That moment is the magical moment. And no. I had been looking forward to that moment my entire life. We're fed this myth. That's part of the reason why I was so hellbent on wanting to carry and have a biological child, because I wanted to feel that magical moment. Because my mother had the magical moment with me. Like, you know,
wow.
Sometimes it happens with people, right? So I gave birth to my son and the same thing happened. It was a slow burn. It took me time to establish that bond. It came, but it's not always instant.
No. Yes.
And it doesn't 100%. Matter if it's a biological thing or not. It's just not necessarily always the magical moment. And I feel like that is something that is so important to say all the time too. We establish our bonds with humans in all ways differently. So anyway, I just wanted to add that, because that kind of goes with this whole conversation. I'm a slow burn when it comes to bonding.
Yes. Well, listen, I mean, I think that's so beautifully said, because it's so true. And I talk about this in my book. I've seen people who bond very quickly or accept donor conception very quickly, and some people who don't for a very, very, very long time. And doesn't mean that one's right and one's wrong. This is just how you are and how your evolution develops. And it doesn't mean that just because you have the slow burn, it's not going to happen.
Right.
Right. Everybody's experience is different. We have to appreciate and trust that we will have a connection with our child at some point, but everybody's path is different. Everybody's journey is different. Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that, Jane.
No problem.
Appreciate
it. Anytime.
That. Appreciate it.
Anytime,
that.
Lisa the therapist. Anytime.
You say, we're the show about family, but with gay. There's a lot of humor in that. Do you think that humor is also important in this process, to feel like there are times that we have to kind of lighten things up? Or do you feel like the community is already kind of a little bit, since the gay baby boom, a little bit more normalized? How are you feeling like the temperature is in the queer community now in terms of family building?
Well, I think it's been a lot more normalized like to the point I made earlier about how there are actually resources and more queer folks making families. My tagline, the show All About Family But With Gay, is just a cute way of trying to add a little humor and say, it's just a family show. Like, that's all it is. But we're gay. You know, just to say, we're just like you, same, same, but different, but not different at all. I can't speak for the whole queer community, but I know me personally, I survive with comedy and making light of things. And I have to joke about all the things or it does feel too heavy. And that's kind of how my family works. We're jokers. We joke about all the things. And in the name of normalizing our two-mom family to our children and their donor conception to them, we use a lot of humor to explain things. We use a lot of humor to make sure that the conversation is constantly ongoing. So I'm constantly throwing the word lesbian into the conversation. I'm constantly making jokes about, like, two mom jokes or the fact that you have a donor jokes. Like, we joke. That's how we keep the conversation easy and light and ongoing. So it never, I don't want my kids to ever feel like it's a heavy thing.
Yes.
The way their story originated. I don't ever want them to feel heavy when we talk about it. I want it to always just be joyful. Like, it just is. It is what it is. And this is us. And we joke about it. And it's working. And my daughter, like, now she jokes about it. And she's like, Mom, the other day I was walking with my friend and my friend was being quiet. And she goes, my daughter goes, you're acting like my dad right now. And then the friend was like, but you don't have a dad. Oh, like, so she's making her own, like, funny jokes to,
that's
like,
great.
Just to, you know, but normal. But at the same time, her doing that normalizes it to her friends.
Yes.
So that her friends don't feel weird, taboo talking about it, right?
Right.
So we use humor to help our kids have the tools to normalize it out in the world. It's not a heavy thing. It's never a heavy thing, ever. It can't be heavy. I don't want my kids to feel shame or anything regarding how they came to be or our family, because there's nothing shameful about it. It's actually really freaking beautiful. So,
yes, 100%. I agree with you. Wholeheartedly, what do you think has changed most for queer families since you've been doing the show? And going forward, it seems like our culture has made a left turn. So things have been kind of moving along nicely. And then all of a sudden now, you know, I'm getting calls about, should I move my embryos to New York? And should I get married right away? And should I get a second parent adoption? And I'm getting lots of calls that I haven't had in many, many years. So I'm wondering how you're feeling about that and what sort of messages can we share with our audience about how to think about their family building journey now?
I say yes, get that second parent adoption. Whoever's asking that, yes, 100%. Yes, yes, yes. But to take it back to what you were asking, the landscape has changed amongst the queer community, I think, immensely. I think not only are more queer people, like I said before, creating families and becoming families, we've also really transitioned the whole community into being more open and accepting of many, many more identities and embracing those identities. I mean, that's my hope. I think there are some in the community who try to not embrace certain identities, which is really sad and needs to not happen. Because if we're going to survive what's happening right now, we all need to embrace the entire umbrella, the LGBTQ++ umbrella. Because there are those in our community who are really, really, really getting targeted right now. And it's not me, right? It's not my cis white lesbian
hate is hate
self, right? It's
it's
our trans community, it's our non-binary community, and they are the targets right now. And our government is really strongly going after them. This little tiny, tiny number of the population, the government is hitting hard against them because you know, they're trying to, it's smoke and mirrors is what it is. I think it's a really scary time for many in the LGBTQIA+ community. And I think we're all feeling it. And I'd be lying if I said I didn't worry about traveling to certain places in our country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's me. my cisgender white lesbian self who passes for the most part out in the streets as a straight woman. Not that I try to pass. I try very hard to look like a lesbian, but it doesn't always work out for me. But I think it's really, really scary for many people in the community. And I have spoken with many people in the past, just this last season I did, who left the country, who are gone.
Yes.
Who, because of fear. And it's people who are transgender or non-binary. It's scary. We had gotten so far. There was so much acceptance. And it feels like it is getting rewound at such a fast pace. It's deafening. It's so scary. And I always think about that scene in Handmaid's Tale where the lesbian family walks up to the airport booth with their passports. And the one who's the non-bio mom doesn't get to travel with them. She gets pulled back because she's not. Yeah, I think about that all the time because it feels like we're like headed. I know it's not, and I know it's a fantasy. It's like, but also sometimes those of us on this side of it can't help but like doom
of course.
Think,
of course.
Oh my God, we are headed in this direction. They're changing gender markers on passports. They're creating a database of the trans people in the world. They're, you know, like, so of the country, I mean. So it's a really scary time for LGBTQIA plus people. And to me, it's a much less scary time than it is for those who are really, really, really being targeted. So I think it's important that we're all conscious of that and we all work to be upstanders for the most downtrodden of all of us.
Yes, yes. And I think right now, unfortunately, you know, on both extremes, there's hate on both sides. And it's the first time in my lifetime I've seen that. And so I agree, we all have to really be there to support inclusivity and love and connection and help people in every way we can. I agree with that wholeheartedly, Jamie.
Crazy times.
Crazy times. So what do you think that donor-conceived children and queer families should know when they listen to a podcast like this? What do you think that they should be taking away? What are the things that you really feel that they should be, or that you're hoping that they take away from your episodes?
Well, I think it's the thing that I have taken away from all these years of doing it. And the one thing that I always go back to, the one thing that I think in every conversation I have with a queer family is, we are some of the most intentional families out there. And I think that's a really important distinction to make when there are those in power who would try to say that we are not fit to parent, that we are groomers. I've been called a groomer more times than you can imagine on social media by trolls. I mean, whatever. I know I'm not. So, okay.
Yeah.
Way to go. You come up with that all on your own. But like, there are those who really do believe that we're not fit to be parents. And I would hope that everybody who listens to my show, children, queer folks who want to be parents, queer folks who are parents, take away the fact that no. Don't get it twisted. We are the most intentional families out there. We work hard. There are no accidents. There are very few accidents. We work hard to create these families, and we work hard to show up in a world that doesn't necessarily accept us, and to make sure that our children are raised with so much love and so much strength against the outside world. Not against, that's not the right way to put it, but like so much resilience.
Yes.
And so much confidence in who they are and how they were made. And how loved they are. We are so intentional.
Yes.
So intentional. From the moment we start the family building process to the moment we die, the whole journey is extremely intentional.
Yes. That's beautiful, Jamie. I agree with you. I think that that's so important.
It is Pride Month. It's Pride every day, but now it's Pride Month. It's our month.
It's Pride Month. It's our month. Yes. And thank you so much, Jamie, for coming on this podcast. I'm so grateful to have you here as always. It's a pleasure. And I hope everybody out there has a wonderful Pride. And before we end, Jamie, where can people find you?
You can find me anywhere you get your podcasts at the Queer Family Podcast. It's the Queer Family Podcast. I'm also on YouTube at The Queer Family Podcast. And I am on Instagram at The Queer Family Podcast, Facebook, same. And on TikTok, I believe it's Queer Fam Pod. So you can find me in all those places. I'm everywhere. I'm everywhere you didn't want me to be and more.
Okay, terrific. Well, I hope everybody reaches out to Jamie. As you can see, she's wonderful and the podcast is fantastic. You will find something in there that's exactly right for you, I promise.
Queer Family Podcast.
A huge, huge thank you to our sponsor of this here episode, California Cryo Bank. Don't forget to use code QueerFam26 to get that free level 3 subscription to their donor catalog. Go make those babies, y'all, and then come tell me about them. Let's do this.
Love is love.
Whew. Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed that episode as much as I enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, feel free to listen to another or watch another. I have so many episodes for your listening or viewing pleasure. Just go pick one and enjoy. There's a lot. There really is. And also, if you really do like this show, please, I know I say it all the time, but please do consider supporting the show on Patreon. You're just going to go to patreon.com/thequeerfamilypodcast. You're going to pick a tier. You're going to join and you're going to get that bonus content. And you're also going to get my love and adoration for the rest of my life. I love you all. Thanks for tuning in. Keep on tuning in, and I'll see you next time. Mwah.